Do you know anyone for whom faith seems impossible? Maybe that was you at some point in your life. Faith is sometimes found in unexpected places. Rahab was living a wicked life. She was a prostitute. But the grace of God reached her in a most amazing way. Her faith in Israel's God would preserve her from the judgment of God brought upon her city. We're continuing along the wisdom journey today with this lesson called A Surprising Conversion.
The book of Joshua is a book of battles. The children of Israel are preparing to enter the promised land of Canaan, and it's not going to be easy. The Canaanite people are, by this time, defiant nations. God has given them plenty of time to repent of their idolatry and immorality and to follow Him as Creator God. In fact, God had given them 40 years to repent after they learned that Israel had miraculously crossed the Red Sea and were heading their way. But the Canaanites are determined to fight God's chosen people to the bitter end. And Israel is about to serve as God's instrument of judgment. Now today, as we come to Joshua chapter 2, Israel is preparing for battle, and this is going to be a big one. They're going to march against a fortress city, the city of Jericho. By the way, we're told in the New Testament that the history of Israel was recorded to teach us how to live by faith, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. So as we work through this chapter, I want to give you some timeless principles for New Testament Christians today. First, we need to prepare for battle even though God has promised us the ultimate victory. God had already told Joshua over here in chapter 1, "The Lord your God will give you this land." Victory was already guaranteed. So Joshua could relax, right? Oh no, he's going to prepare for battle. So now here in chapter 2 and verse 1, we read that Joshua sent two men secretly as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." You see, Jericho is the front door into the land of Canaan. So these men are going to go check out how big that front door is. Joshua becomes an illustration for New Testament soldiers. We're told to put on the armor of God. We're in a spiritual battle against ideologies and false religions. We don't battle with guns and bombs. We battle with the truth. We use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we need to be prepared, even though God has promised us the ultimate victory through Jesus Christ. Secondly, we need to remember that God includes the most unlikely people in His plans. Verse 1 goes on to tell us that these two spies entered the city of Jericho and eventually camped out that night in the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab. Now, why would they hide out in a brothel? Well, for one thing, that would be the last place anybody would ask their name. The Hebrew word for prostitute is zonah, and that could be translated either prostitute or innkeeper. And some have tried to soften the edges of this account by suggesting that, you know, Rahab was an innkeeper. But the New Testament passages that describe Rahab over in Hebrews 11 and James chapter 2, they use the Greek word porne, which means fornicator. Let me tell you, Rahab is not running a motel. Now, we're told here that these spies had been detected. You see, the king has his own spies, and they watch these Israelites make their way into the city and to Rahab's brothel. So when it grows dark, the king sends soldiers to capture them, but Rahab knows they're coming and has already hidden them away. When the king's men knock on her door, Rahab says here in verse 4, "The men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went." Now, Rahab's just told one lie after another, hadn't she? And this brings up, by the way, another timeless principle. We need to be careful to distinguish what the Bible reports from what the Bible recommends. Many people have been confused that God would use Rahab when she lied. But you'll notice the Bible doesn't commend her for lying. By the way, the Bible doesn't recommend that you spend the night in a brothel either. It simply records what happened without giving us any comment. Now, it's possible God would have done something miraculous to make these men invisible had she told the truth. God doesn't depend on Rahab's lies here. He simply records it. Well, after the soldiers leave, Rahab goes upstairs to the roof where she's hidden the spies, and I want you to notice her surprising testimony to these two men here in verse 9. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. Our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you." Well, let me add a fourth principle here. We often underestimate what God is doing in the hearts of unbelievers. I mean, who would have imagined that the Canaanites have been terrified of Israel for the past 40 years? Now, all that time, the Israelites were convinced, you know, they were grasshoppers compared to these Canaanite warriors. All the time, they were afraid of the Canaanites. The Canaanites here are shaking in their boots. And look what had happened to Rahab here in verse 11. She says, "For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." In other words, "I believe your God is the true and living God." And I know they didn't expect that testimony from Rahab. Well, with that testimony of her faith, the spies promised to protect her and her family when Jericho is later conquered. They tell her to tie a scarlet cord in the window to identify her house when the Israelites enter the city. By the way, the Hebrew word for cord, that scarlet cord here in verse 18, is tikvah. It's translated often in the Old Testament with the word hope. So Rahab is literally flying the banner of hope that God will rescue her and forgive her and keep her from judgment and death. Now, let me give you one more principle here. Past sin does not erase the potential of future blessing. Two of the three times Rahab will be mentioned later in the New Testament, she's referred to as Rahab the harlot. Well, God evidently wants to remind us of her sinful past. Why? So that He can highlight the beauty of His grace. I preached in a rally in the country of Colombia some time ago, and after the service, a woman came up to the platform. I was told that she was a well-known prostitute in that city. In fact, she was on the payroll of a drug cartel. Through a translator, this woman told me that a friend had invited her to attend that night, and with tears streaming down her cheeks, she told me that she had just given her life to Jesus Christ. Oh, she had a past. But let me tell you, she now had a future. Rahab is going to be rescued. She's going to go on to marry an Israelite man named Salmon. They're going to have a baby boy they name Boaz. Well, Boaz is going to grow up, and just like his father, he's going to marry a former Gentile idolater who chose to follow God. Her name is Ruth. Both Rahab and Ruth will be included in the family tree of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, recorded over in Matthew chapter 1. Well, what about you? Have you been rescued by the grace of God? You say, "Oh, but Stephen, you don't know my past. You don't know the depth of my sin." Well, I don't, but God does. and he sent his son to die for every one of your sins. You just hang that banner of hope out the window of your heart. Hope in Christ alone. And God will forgive you. God will save you. He'll make you a member of his family tree. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You're listening to The Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Our ministry is listener-supported. That means that we're able to write, record, and produce these lessons because of the donations we receive. Those financial gifts are our only source of funding. Please consider joining us. When you join the crew, we're going to thank you by sending you the study guide for these lessons. Follow the link in the show notes.